Good evening, beloved. Thank you for tuning into our podcast today in Facebook Live. We're going to be studying a very interesting topic today. The topic is how God is towards his children. How God is towards his children. The sound of our children beaconing to us melts our heart to attend to them. We having the emotions of our God can relate to how God feels when our children, when his children call to him. Give an example. When my son calls for my name to play or go outside, he'll say, "Daddy, Daddy," and it melts my heart and has an effect to attend to him and to pay attention to him. Today we played cards, we read some books together, and I was thinking after coming back from the dojo today, I wonder if that's how God feels when we call on his name, when we pray to him, when we ask God for help, to assist us when we need help, to ask for protection. Does God have a heart for us? And look, we know the answer to that question, absolutely, but sometimes we tend to think deeper on these things. I begin to think, and I believe that the Lord is ministering to me in regards to how God is towards his children. Before I proceed, let me destroy the false belief that we are all God's children, that man is, that every man in the world is God's child. That is not true. Not everyone is God's child. People say, We're all our God's children while they're sipping the beer. We're all our God's children while they're in the nightclub, the strip club, cheating on their wife, having kids with all kinds of different women, fornicating, never think about God, never attend church, and they're going to say, we are all God's children. That is not true. Let me tell you what a child of God really is, based on Scripture, the Word of God. Let's pray first. Lord, help us. Amen. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now look at this part. Even to them that believe on his name. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, if you did not ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, you, my friend, are not a child of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by, there's that word again, faith in Christ Jesus. Just like Moses believed in God, and he too was also saved and is in heaven today. By what? Faith. Look what it says in Exodus chapter 33, and we'll start reading in 17. It says, by faith, there's that word again, believing in God. By faith, Moses, when he was, I'm in the wrong place. Okay, Exodus 33, 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Moses found grace in the sight of the Lord. How did Moses find grace in the sight of the Lord? How did God know Moses? How did God know Moses? It says, God, in my notes here, God knew Moses because he had faith in God. If you don't have faith in the Lord, if you never come to a place in your life when you ask Jesus to save you and believe that he's the only way to heaven, God does not know you. Hebrews 11, chapter 24, by faith, okay, Moses believed God. Like it says about Abraham, it says Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, and read the rest. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He's talking about the treasures in heaven being better than the treasures of the world. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace comes by faith through Jesus Christ. You cannot have God's grace upon your life if you don't believe in Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, in that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast." Salvation comes by believing in Jesus Christ. That's what Moses did, and that is how he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that's how God knew him. The Lord knows his children. Let me read the verse again. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, as any man shall boast." If you're not saved, you're not God's child. If you're not saved, you don't have grace in the sight of the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. And we'll this is still the introduction, that not everyone is God's child. Those now who are God's children, and I'm cutting into it. God's children are those who have believed on Jesus' name and asked for salvation. Matthew chapter 7. Let's turn there real quick in the Word of God here. And we'll begin reading in verse 13. "Enter ye in at the straight gate." I'm going to explain who the straight gate is. "Enter in at the straight gate." That's it's talking about a narrow passageway. "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." It's talking about hell. "And many there be which go in thereit." A lot of people go to hell. "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it." Okay, you know why there are few that find salvation through this gate? I'll explain what the gate is. It's because they're trying to find another route instead of going to that one narrow passageway. And this is what happens to them. Look at this. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" This is what the Lord says to those who are not saved. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, before I explain what these verses mean, let's go to Luke chapter 13. It's talking about the same thing, and then I'll explain what it's talking about. And this is a very misconstrued verse. Luke 13, we'll start in verse 22. "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved?" He's talking about, are there few that's going to go to heaven? "And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate." He's saying, hey, look, you need to concentrate on going through the one avenue to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. Forget what Oprah Winfrey says when she says Jesus is not the only way. No, Jesus is the only way to heaven. Oprah's an idiot. Luke 13:24, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." They're trying to seek another way to get to heaven other than going through the straight gate. Who is the straight gate? That is Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says, "I am," this is talking about Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." How do you get to the Father? You have to go through Jesus Christ. How do you get to heaven? You have to go through Jesus Christ. He is the only narrow passageway to salvation, and he's readily available to accept you into heaven. Because the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is the will of the Father that I read in Matthew chapter 7. When he said, hold on, let's go back here real quick. Matthew, I should have held my place there. What is the will of the Father? It says here, many will say, oh yeah, right here, 21 of Matthew 7. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What's the will of God? That shall believe on the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, that he's the only way to heaven, and ask Jesus to save you. That's the will of God. If you don't do that, you're going to hell. Look at this part here where it says in Luke chapter 13, verses in verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able to. What's that talking about? Well, I sing in the choir. That means I'm going to heaven. I drive the van for the church. That must mean I'm going to heaven. I attend this church. I attend that church. I'm religious. My friend, that doesn't get you into heaven. When was the last time you asked Jesus to save you? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Have you asked Jesus to save you? If you haven't, God does not know you. Let's read the rest of the verses here. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door and begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Now remember, in the introduction, I said God knows his children. God knows Moses. Why? Because Moses believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Moses was saved. If you believe in God and he actually used to save you, God knows you because you are the child of God. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Moses believed God. He was a saved man. Now look at this. Then shall we begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Just because you eat at the church, the Baptist church picnics, hang out with the pastor, have dinner with the pastor, means you're saved. My friend, have you asked Jesus to save you? Drunk in thy presence, thou hast taught in our streets. Hey, look, I've even known people that have gone out soul winning, and they never asked Jesus to save them. They're crazy. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Now look at this. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. This passage is basically saying you need to ask Jesus to save you. Good works doesn't save you, as I read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Going to a good church doesn't save you, although you're supposed to go to a church. Being religious doesn't save you, like what verse 26 was talking about. What saves you is believing in Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if you don't ask Jesus Christ to save you, you're going to be going to hell, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, as it says in Revelations. All right, so that's the introduction. I just wanted to crush the belief that, we are all God's children. No, only people that are saved and ask Jesus to save them are all God's children. I forgot to read Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God. I think I read it. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Do you believe in God? Do you have faith in Jesus? Okay, let's keep going. All right, so first point. Point number one in this message, how God is towards his children. Point number one. God is tender to his children. It's amazing the love of the Father has for those that are saved. And we can't assure that with how we treat our family and our sons. When our son is crying, when they're asking for food or water, we get it for them. We're tender to their request. God is tender to his children. Now, we inherited certain emotions by our Lord at the creation of man. Okay? Never believe the evolutionists when they say that emotions, man's emotions, came about through evolution. That is a lie of the devil. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. This is actually my favorite book, and one of my favorite books of the Bible is Genesis. Genesis means the beginning. It says there, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, this is referring to the creation of man. And God said, let us make man in our image. Okay? We are made in the image of God. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. When, by the way, I will mention, when it says let us, that's God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost talking. The Bible says all three are one. This is the Godhead. Okay? And I will remind you, God created male and female. The Sodomites think that there is no two genders. They think a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man. Impossible. Okay? That's not the will of God. You're basically calling God a liar when you go against that and teach against that. So, we're made in the likeness of God. We inherited some of the emotions that God shares. Where it says it repented God that God made man. You see that God gets mad, he gets angry, he's patient, he's tender. You remember when Jesus groaned, he wept. We share those same emotions from God Almighty, the creator of the universe. So when our son asks us, or you know, for those that have daughters, Daddy, can we go to the park and play? Your heart sinks for them and you follow the request. Much the same way when we ask Jesus to help us when we're going through something in life, when we need help financially, when a loved one is sick, I believe that the Lord is tender towards his people, bows his ear and listens. The Lord loves us. God is tender to his children. Go with me to Luke chapter 18. As we expound on this. It is a matter of what you're going through. You could be going through a really hard time throughout the whole week. You need to make your complaints known unto the Lord. Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he will not for a while, but afterward he said within himself. So now he's thinking, though I fear not God nor regard man, he's saying, I don't fear the Lord and I don't care about my fellow man. I could care less. You know what, let me stop here and talk about something. Have you noticed that it seems like the judges today don't really care about man? They pass these stupid laws and get people in trouble, and no one is really there to defend you. My goodness, they don't fear the Lord, and they do not regard their fellow man. They just mess over people. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now look what God says. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, talking about saved people, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He's saying, when I come back, am I going to find some people that pray? Okay. Let me see if I'm missing something. Okay, let's continue on. The Lord is tender towards his children. So if you pray unto the Lord will hear and attend to it, especially if you're living right. Psalm 102, verse 17. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Psalm 34, 18 through 20. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save it such as be of a contrite spirit. You're going through some problems emotionally. The Lord is near to you. Let's speak to the Lord. Make your complaint known unto the Lord. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry. Okay, now that's a very key. The righteous cry. If you're saved, you're righteous. You are sanctified. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. Psalm 103, verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust, because we're made from the ground. Okay? The Lord considers that. He knows our frame. He has compassion on us. Now, keep this thought in mind. The Lord our Father helps us. Psalms 37:24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. By the way, it's what you need, not what you want. Matthew 6:8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. You need food in the refrigerator? Matthew 6:32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now look at this now. If you're saved, you're in this category. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Psalm 37:25. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The Lord considers us. Go with me to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. We'll start our reading in verse 4. What is man? You know what? This is so good. Let's read the whole chapter. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou might distill the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He's saying, man, you are the creator of the universe, and you consider us? When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy father's, the work of thy fingers. He's saying, the Lord, you created everything, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, he's talking about in power, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thine hands. Let me stop there. These environmentalist movement that make you pay all this money to go out there to have a deep sea fishing license, absolutely absurd. We have dominion over the fish. We need to eat living daylights out of it. Right, we're supposed to use oil. You have the EPA telling the American people not to drill for their own oil. Biden and eliminated the Keystone Pipeline. We can't drill for own oil. Gasoline is $4 a gallon, $5 a gallon. It's going to be $6 a gallon on average pretty soon. And the only thing you hear, the oil is expensive because of Russia, Russia, Russia. No, we're supposed to have dominion over the earth, over God's creation, and use it. What is man that thou art mindful? Let me see. For thou hast made him little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. It's talking about God. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Okay? Yeah, it's talking about rulership. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air. That's talking about Chick-fil-A, amen. Praise God for chicken. The fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea. My mom loves fish. And, you know, I'm on Jamaican Baptist Ministry now. We're alive on that. Jamaica has all kinds of delicious fish to eat. And the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Okay? So the Lord considers us. And that's Psalms chapter 8 we just read. The Lord our Father will never leave us. Go with me. Oh, it's right here in my paper. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Okay? Don't be always, oh man, Conor McGregor, he's rich off of liquor, the devil's vomit, by the way. Oh man, I wish I was like Money Mayweather. He worked hard. Now he has a parking garage full of cars and stuff like that. I wish I was like him. Right? Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. I'm content. Praise the Lord that my wife and I and my two sons are healthy. My mom and dad are healthy. Praise the Lord. Okay? Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Man, I think if I was destitute and poor somewhere, knowing the fact that I'm saved and have the Lord in my life, that would definitely help me get through that, those problems. I'm going to read John 14, 26. Okay, now when you get saved, we're talking about salvation in the introduction. The Lord sends the Holy Ghost to live inside of you permanently. It says in John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Okay, the Holy Ghost is living inside of you. Okay, he's with you 24/7. Right? God knows you. He has compassion on you. He's tender towards you. And he's with you. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you all way, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Our Father is always with us. You know, there's a time when you have to get out of your parents' house and cleave unto your wife, the Bible says. Right? Now, I'm very close to my parents. I see them on a weekly basis. But, you know, as close as I am to him, and they know this too, because they are born-again Christians, our Heavenly Father is closer to us than our own kin. He'll be with us until the end of the world. Amen? Go with me to Psalm 139. My mother loves Psalm. I saw her reading from the book of Psalm this week. That's her favorite book. There's a lot of good stuff in Psalms. Psalm 139 and verses 1 through 11. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. The Lord knows when you're sitting down and getting up out of bed. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Even before you think it, the Lord knows exactly what you're about to think. You know, the Lord knows that I'm thinking about his Bible. The Lord knows that I want to do judo. Praise God. Thou compassest my path. The Lord is around us, protecting us. Thou compassest my path and my laying down. I love that. And art acquainted with all my ways. You know, I'm not trying to force a verse here, but there are times when I wrestle and do judo, I ask the Lord to be on the wrestling or judo mat with me. I want the light to shine in those environments. I want the Lord. I want them to see God in me. Because I notice when it's like that, that's when people start asking about church and who Jesus Christ is. Okay, from my experience. Thou art acquainted with my ways. Lord, I want the Lord to be acquainted with my ways and what I do, what I like to do. I want the Lord to be involved in that. Whether you play basketball, football, you do in Jamaica, you do athletics. In America, they call it track and field. But you do athletics. If you're saved, don't you want God to be acquainted with all your ways? Okay? Your job, how you operate at work. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo. Now, lo is an example of something exciting and amazing, mind-blowing. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He's saying God knows everything about us. Okay? Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Amen. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Now he's overwhelmed. Sometimes I get overwhelmed by this myself. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Now God is everywhere at all the time. Everywhere at the same time and all the time. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Jonah thought he could flee from the Lord. Look what happened to him. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. Now this is talking about his creation. I'll just go ahead and read the rest because it's awesome. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Now, what that was talking about is when you're when a baby's being developed in a woman in a mother's womb, God can see the process going on. Why? Because he created the process of childbearing and birth. You stinking abortionists out there. My substance was not hid from thee. That's an unborn child. When I was made in secret. I wish I got the verse down. I forgot where it was. I think it's Ecclesiastes or something like that. I need to look. Or Jeremiah. I think it's Jeremiah. But it talks about that the Lord forms children in the womb. And that's why the Bible says children are the heritage of the Lord. You shouldn't be killing kids. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Okay? Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Now he's talking about, so the beginning stages of an unborn child, not everything is there yet. The child is developing his hands, his feet, growing some hair. Okay? Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. All right? So the Lord is looking at this. And in thy book, all my members were written. Okay? It's talking about like DNA. DNA dictates the type of body you have. That I believe that's what it's talking about. Which continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Now look at that. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Explanation point. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely that will slay the wicked, O God. Amen. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Let's keep going. That's some good stuff. Okay, so that's Psalms 138. All right, now where was I on this beautiful... Okay, Psalm 66, 18. Okay, it says in Psalm 66:18 here. Now we're on the next subject. Now you see how we just went over what is considered a child of God. That's someone that's saved. That's a person that asked Jesus to save them. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you asked Jesus to save you? Okay, so that's a child of God. And then we went over how God is tender towards his children, how God feels towards his children, and with that we share the same emotions that God has. Okay? When you call on his name, the Lord hears, delivers you out of trouble, he provides for you. There's so many verses on that. Now, our last point, okay? Man, that thing didn't print out. Okay, point number two, okay? God doesn't bless bad children. That's a very key statement. If you're saved, the Lord will chastise you. Okay, but don't expect to be living in sin all day long. You skip church, you're barely in your Bibles, you're like listening to the devil's music, rap music, country music, R&B, whatever you listen to, and then expect God's blessing on your life. You're like, man, nothing works for me. I feel like God doesn't care. Well, are you living for the Lord? Are you doing the general will of God? When was the last time you were in church? A good independent fundamental Baptist church. When was the last time? It says here, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's Psalm 66:18. Okay, iniquity is knowing that you have sin in your life and you hide it and you keep it for later. That's not good. And notice that it says in my heart. That's something like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get back to that sin. Man, that's so convicting. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Guys, look, nothing should take the place of God our Father. Your job shouldn't come first. Your wife shouldn't come first before the Lord. Your children shouldn't come first before the Lord. Judo shouldn't come first before the Lord. Wrestling shouldn't come first before the Lord. Boxing shouldn't come first before the Lord. Baseball shouldn't come first before the Lord. Football, oh, I hate football. Football shouldn't come first before the Lord. The Lord must come first, 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 first. And if you expect our Father in heaven, if you're saved now, our Father in heaven to bless you, you need to be doing the will of our God, the general will. Tithing, reading your Bible every day, obeying him, attending church, soul winning, which is the Great Commission. We ought to be doing those things. I hope this was a blessing to you. I thought this was a blessing to me. This came about in my mind as I was leaving the dojo today. This popped in my mind. So I believe the Lord is ministering to me and teaching me today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for the people in Jamaica, the members of this Facebook page. I pray that the people on this podcast, we went live. There's some people that join in. I pray that they learn something. And bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.